break halfway through each period, but they're, I mean, you can stream the games, but it's not like they're on TV. There's no media timeouts, that sort of thing.
They so break nice just for what?
Just kind of, I mean, since there's no commercial breaks, no media timeouts, they just have a quick break right halfway through the period to kind of break things up.
For the fans or for the players?
Both.
Oh, for the, yeah, that makes sense.
I mean,
sense.
You're just going.
I guess that makes sense. You can't really, like, get up if, like, it's interesting. So it's almost like a six-period game.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like a, it's only, a, I don't know, a couple minutes.
Mind game.
It's like a commercial. It's the length of a commercial.
That's fair.
Basically.
Okay.
And what was the other thing I was going to say? I don't remember now. But yeah. Good experience. Fun experience. Lots of kids there.
Good.
Growing the game.
Yeah.
They were doing autographs after the game, so it was a massive line.
Great.
Of all these like tiny girl hockey players.
That's fun. Did you get any autographs on your
I
hat?
I did not get any autographs.
On your helmet?
No.
Did you bring a little novelty helmet?
I should have.
Sign my helmet. God, I would have thrown you out of the arena if you were trying to
get
an autograph.
There was a game misconduct.
Pushing some 7-year-old girl down to get a helmet signed.
You can't really check.
Yeah, that stinks.
And there was a cross check.
Oh, boy.
And led to a scrum, and one of the Pride players was ejected.
Well, I love a fight. Mm-hmm. Like, as much as I'm bitching about the Bruins just getting scrappy fighting guys, I love fighting. I'm a big dummy, so they should check in girls' hockey. What's the rationale? Just no?
Yeah, and I mean, it's more of a international game too. It's more fluid, less physical.
Because the international game, like the ice is
in college. Well, I mean, you can check in college, but like, there's no fighting in college and all that. So
I don't think you can check in college.
Whatever. So then, yeah, whatever.
I mean, you can. There's contact, but you can't like push someone against the boards when you're against the boards. Like that's a penalty.
By the way, speaking of body checks, you see, I forget who it was and who he lit up, but Girardi, old man Dan Girardi for the Bolts.
Nope.
Absolutely lit a dude up.
I didn't
open ice, didn't leave his feet, clean check. It was glorious, shoulder to shoulder.
I'll catch it on ESPN.
It was amazing.
Although I'm trying to get rid of cable, so we'll see how that goes.
Also, Josh Beckett was arrested 2 nights ago.
He was?
You didn't hear about this?
No.
He was arrested for, so the rumors are, allegedly, a friend bet him $7,500 to beat up the band, and he like ran on stage and tackled the lead singer and got arrested.
Josh Beckett, the baseball player.
Yeah, the Texas Tough Guy.
To beat up a band?
Yeah, it was. So he was at an open mic night, and there was a band playing, and
what?
He jumped on stage and tackled the lead singer.
What an ass.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, he's a notorious a-hole.
God.
Bound for Glory happened.
Hell yeah, it did. I didn't see it. Don't spoil it. We'll watch it later.
There's much to spoil.
Alberto fought in a...
they insist on bringing back most likely domestic abuser, Alberto.
I know, Alberto Del Rio.
They're obsessed with bringing him back instead of, like, again...
There's so many good guys there.
They're running out of money. Everybody for years has been complaining that they don't push the young talent, so their main event featured Johnny Nitro, and then Alberto Del Rio came and broke it all up.
Stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Like, their tag team division's fun.
Their women's division can be
fantastic.
The women's
division is fun.
Like, just, like, make Rosemary your number one star, and it would be great.
They are making her this. They're pushing her, because Gail Kim's retiring. This is her, like, retirement.
She did win her match.
But she's going to pass the baton, basically. But, there's this tag team, they're like Juggalos, basically, Ohio versus everything, which no sense. It makes no sense.
The Crists. They used to be Irish Airborne.
Irish Airborne makes more sense than Ohio versus everything. That's not a tag team name.
You know who showed up at Bound for Glory and joined them?
No.
LaParca. Sammy Callahan.
Ugh. Turn it off.
And Jimmy Jacobs showed up.
Yeah, I heard Jimmy Jacobs was there. I'm glad he's wrestling.
His big debut was to yell at Josh Matthews at the desk.
Sure. I was watching New Japan on Access. Speaking of wrestling, they'll show random New Japan stuff on Access TV with English broadcast with JR and War Machine, who's
Josh Barnett.
Terrible. He's a terrible announcer. Like he seems like a cool guy maybe to hang out with, but he is like not good. He doesn't care. Like he goes out, he's like Sonata, whatever. Like did like a flip out of the ring into the crowd. And he's like, you know, it's not a really good idea to do that. And they're like, what? Like, JR is, like, apoplectic. Like, he's dying. He's like, I don't believe it. I would have a heart attack. And he's just not no-selling everything. Like, he's trying to put himself over. Like, he's, like, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Speaking of wrestling.
I'm getting a mad internet wrestling fan over here.
IWC, Runa Wild, next week, next Saturday, November 18th. Free on Twitch TV beginning at 7 o'clock p.m., I think Eastern. It is. Wrestle Circus, Rise of the Machine.
Swatch internet time.
Check out this card. The main event, Brian Cage, champion, defending against Keith Lee.
Hell yeah.
Baskin's
glory.
Oh
my God, really?
Yes.
I have to watch this now.
For the first time ever, Sammy Guevara versus Matt Riddle. First time ever, Zack Sabre Jr. versus Andrew Everett. Lady of the Ring title match, Tessa Blanchard defends against Chelsea Green. Singles match, Jimmy Jacobs versus Ethan Page. Singles match, Shane Strickland versus the best,
the best.
Scorpio Sky with Kevin Condren. Fatal 5-Way, ACH versus Ray Horace versus Serpentico versus JT Dunn versus Jordan Lennox. First time ever in a singles match, Joey Ryan versus Gentleman Jervis. I still haven't seen
he's going to make Gentleman Jervis grab his genitals?
Oh, man. That's going to be high comedy, actually. And the Queen of Cosplay. Who will she cosplay as? Lita Bates.
Is she fighting?
It just says the Queen of Cosplay.
Okay. Rogue from the X-Men, please, I guess.
And then there's a Beyond show, today?
Today in Somerville. David Starr is in a tournament.
David Starr was also...
Wrestling's Bernie
David
Sanders
Starr was
is his new...
arguing with newly christened gamer guy, X-Pac, about bump training.
How to train bumps?
X-Pac says, don't train bumps unless you're training for the actual move. And David Starr is like, well, no, we train bumps.
Meaning just fall down in different ways.
Yeah. I mean, it was one of those kind of two extremes where X-Pac, you don't want to, do a hard dungeon and, break guys before they do anything.
No.
At the same time. Maybe you should learn how to land.
That's
anyway,
the two
wrestling insiders here.
Yeah, over here, wrestling insider. I wrestled in a backyard.
Real quick, you're listening to WMFO Med for 91.5 FM, streaming live on WMFO.org. This is Brutal Brunch. And about to wrap up our sports report. I think that is actually a sports report. Segues into your Wrestler of the Week.
Wrestler of the Week.
Oh, wait.
You're not playing my production. We make movies.
Oh.
Guys, Wrestler of the Week's going to be so good.
You gotta wait for it, though.
Are you excited about Wrestler of the Week?
I'm always excited.
For the fifth week in a row, it's Kane.
You look at Small Joe, and you can see that statement is not true.
I just do the BDK throughout the entire Wrestler of the Week.
One of these days, I'm gonna learn how to use Audacity.
Do not let the nutrition community find out about Scott Steiner and his fat shaming.
Maybe the nutrition community...
Don't lie, and they spell disaster for you!
The Brutal Brunch Wrestler! Right, you can fade it down after this.
Go ahead.
Yeah, because I got a bed, too.
Ooh.
Wrestler of the Week is The Lionheart.
What are we listening to?
Everything. The Wrestler of the Week is The Lionheart, Chris Jericho. Chris Jericho recently in the news because he's going to be going to New Japan to fight Kenny Omega, so I was thinking of him quite a bit. And he's had a pretty long career, right? He started wrestling in the early 80s, or late 80s, excuse me.
He's in Canada and Mexico.
Japan hates Vampiro. At the age of 19, he started training at the Hart Brothers School of Wrestling, speaking of bump training, I guess, where he trained with everyone's favorite boring wrestler, Lance Storm. On the first day, he was trained by Ed Langley and local Calgary wrestler Brad Young, and he was wrestling 2 months later on independent shows. He started calling himself as Cowboy Chris Jericho on October 2nd, 1990, when he's fighting against Storm. They kind of toured because they were training together. As might surprise you, Matt, he changed his name. He took the name Jericho from the album Walls of Jericho by German power metal band Halloween.
There you go. The rest comes back to Halloween.
The rest, they say, is history. Between WWF, Extreme Championship Wrestling, WCW, he has 32 titles. He was the first undisputed WWF champion with the WCW championship and the WWF belt. He had both of the tag team belts at one point. And it kind of comes back and has been having pretty good runs, I think, since quasi-retiring in 2010?
And he comes back for the Rumbles.
He kind of comes back for the Rumble, had a really great run recently with Kevin Owens when they're doing the Festival of Friendship.
It's great. I mean, the other one is getting beat up, and it's
which is...
How come my name's on this?
Mic drop.
A thing that brought non-wrestling fans into wrestling, I think Maggie's a friend in New York whose boyfriend is also like way into wrestling and got obsessed with the Festival of Friendship between Jericho and Owens. I already have that. I see you're pulling up a video, and I want to say that I already have it on my computer. And it was exciting because I got to explain to them like why I loved Chris Jericho, and it's because of his time in WCW, honestly, more than I think. Like his early, like I was kind of out of wrestling from like 2003 to 2009 almost, you know, kind of like.
You didn't miss much until 2008. It got, sorry, getting good again. Although that was also the glory days of TNA.
TNA.
From like 2005.
Right.
The Fox Sports year.
I kind of like retired from wrestling for a while and I came back. But Jericho in WCW is like a jerk heel, and especially in the WCW era of like late 90s when they were like they didn't give a crap about anything and like let the cruiserweights.
Goldberg and
it was just Goldberg, Hogan, and other guys who were like in their 60s, and like they let the cruiserweights do whatever the heck they wanted. So obviously the great feud is between Malenko and Jericho, two vanilla midgets, and D. Malenko, the man of 1,001 holds. Of course, Chris Jericho says, "Well, if you know 1,001 holds, I know 1,004 holds."
And then he said he had his partner, and Hogan. It seemed
but like, listen to this. This is like arguably one of the funniest promos of all time. Shivani, whom I love, is literally just not even talking about it. He's talking about Hogan fighting later in the night.
So Larry Zbyszko
decides to break away from Hollywood Hogan.
No, it's Shivani and
we can speculate all night. We'll find out later.
Oh my God!
Obviously, Kevin Nash.
I mean, that's Larry Zbyszko. No.
Mark Madden.
Nope.
You know what?
Here we go.
Dedicate this match.
Like the crowd is going wild for Jericho, and they're talking about later, like Hogan is going to confront someone from the NWO.
You
like, what are you
a
doing?
A lot of people down, a lot of people, including myself, down.
Guys,
so I'm kissing you, and you're
asking for
Ducky Low
as Jericho applied the lion tamer.
And to be the man of 1,000 holds, but I counted, and you know about 60, but I know 1,004, and I wrote them all down. Here we go. Hold one. Arm drag. Hold two.
He just like has this huge piece of computer paper.
Hold three. The moss covered. Three handled family grunzel.
That's a cat in the hat.
He just mail us this list and we'll announce
arm bar.
It. He just ran.
I want to let this fade out and just say Chris Jericho is this week's Brutal Brunch Wrestler of the Week.
Well, the best is they go to commercial and they come back and he's still.
And he comes back and he just yells arm bar.
Get the hook. We're out of here. Shut up.
Can I just say though, this was the first ever Raw.
Meet Erica.
What are you?
She's only.
Well, that's the commercial.
Oh, okay, I see.
And now he's back.
It's time for us to.
And they just go away from him.
All right, this is the first. This is my contribution, if you don't mind.
Sure.
To it. This is the first ever Raw that I ever saw in my life.
Done with the countdown.
The big show tonight.
And go on and check your big fat ass directly
everyone
into
is not
the
body positive.
SmackDown Hotel.
Big show's gonna need a big king size bed.
This is Hollywood star Dwayne Johnson.
Man, he looks so different now. Like every time I see The Rock from this era, it's like a different person.
Sideburns. It's the Millennium. JR 10. 9.
Still gets the chills.
It's the Millennium.
Millennium. 4. We're counting down.
It's
3.
Here.
2. We're counting it now.
Gotta love 1999.
I love it. I hope when he wrestles in New Japan that he does the Lion Tamer and not the Walls of Jericho.
On his neck. Yeah. Omega's bigger than him, though, right?
I think so. Yeah, he's a pretty big guy.
Here we go.
I got a weird.
1999 pyro.
Yeah. There's no pyro anymore, by the way.
Bring the water.
Oh, that pop is glorious. Yes, for those who don't know, Chris Jericho made his WWF debut in the middle of the Rock promo. I think he got beat down by the Rock and then went on to feud with Ken Shamrock for the Intercontinental Championship.
Rightfully so.
There was an early episode of SmackDown where they had we're going to have a first blood match.
Welcome to Raw is Jericho!
So ridiculous. So ridiculous.
But yes, they were having a first blood match against Shamrock, and Chris Jericho was dressed up in full hockey gear, hockey stick, and a shark cage. So, yes, Jericho was
so obviously very due respect to being the Brutal Brunch wrestler of the week, Chris Jericho. Hopefully WWE doesn't buy New Japan Pro Wrestling with this promotion.
That'd be pretty rough.
That could happen, though, honestly.
All right. Excellent selection. Let's play a song, and then we'll come back with the Bruin Lapa Rule, and then we have the Hall of Fame.
That sounds good to me.
All right. So let's play another band you can see this week. When are they? Oh, no. I threw away the calendar. In Depth and Tides, they're playing...
You fool!
...this week. We'll follow up on it. Anyway, this is the song Parallel. It's the latest from them off their self-titled EP, released just on November 3rd. Parallel, you're hearing it on... This is In Depth and Tides. Brutal Bunch, WMFO, Midford 91.5 FM. Streaming live on WMFO.org. Yeah.
looking to raise $5,000 to continue to keep your freeform station playing your favorite music. WMFO is a nonprofit station with staff, students, and community members who volunteer their time to bring you their favorite music and shows. We need your support to keep it all running, so donate now by logging on to donate.wmfo.org. That's donate.wmfo.org. Or mail a check payable to trustees of Tufts College. Send it to WMFO, P.O. Box 65, Medford, Massachusetts, 02155. Thank you for your support from all of us here at your Freeform Station, 91.5 WMFO.
Pull on that fence there, all right? And just squeal like a pig. Whee! 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 Whee!
What are you doing, Zach?
Shut up! Whee! Whee! Whee!
Matt, you can sing along if you want.
I can't do it.
Inhale.
Oh, I'm gonna throw up trying to do it.
France. That is the band Benighted. That was our Pig Squeal of the Week. That
That's
was
amazing.
A song Reptilian off of Necrobreed, which was released earlier this year. And now it's time for Brutal Not Brutal.
Honestly, thanks for that. I appreciate it.
Now everyone's awake.
I appreciate you.
Yeah, so we got to do this quick because we got a long-ass Hall of Fame ceremony to get to.
Rightfully so.
Kicking off this week, Matt's uncle, Rand Paul, was tackled.
You know, you're not that far
blindsided by his neighbor.
Perfect form tackle. And the man who tackled him was like an inventor of like a back pain device. You know? He's like a not a surgeon, an anesthesiologist.
Yes, yep.
And he invented some like help your back thing. So that's why he gets to live near Rand Paul in the upper echelons.
But nobody knows what the true source of the tackle was.
Right.
Because Rand Paul was dismounting from his lawnmower with his headphones on and did not hear or see his neighbor charging him. And he wound up with a couple cracked ribs or whatever.
I think it was just like neighbor dispute. Like, he's so, like, that's the last time you put your trash bags in front of my house. And he's like, just like crushed. Well,
so initial reports, everybody trying to make a political thing. Like, sure. Like, oh, the neighbor's kind of liberal. They haven't talked in years.
Yeah,
and then,
like,
then it's like, then there was a dispute about like roots and leaves and stuff like that.
That's got to be
but
it.
But then there's still like very weird statements and weird vibes around the whole thing. So I think Rand Paul's representative said, his lawyer said that it's something that everyone else would find trivial. So that's what some
it's got to be that, right?
Some people think a neighbor thing. Some people think that a wife was involved and that there may have been some extracurricular activities going on now. But
I love this story so much.
That's a theory. So anyway.
Also, man, that guy must be a truck. He broke all his ribs. Like, holy crap. Is he still in the hospital?
I don't care about Rand Paul. I don't know.
I don't want someone to die for, like, comedy.
So, yeah, that was that.
Yeah.
Here's something.
Brutal, obviously, is the answer to that question.
Quite brutal.
Extremely brutal.
There was a, quote, unquote, harmless radioactive cloud drifting over Europe this week from a mysterious source located either in Russia or Kazakhstan.
Yep.
So, yeah, this is good that nobody's really claiming responsibility. There was something happened somewhere.
Yep. Something's loose. It's a radioactive cloud, folks.
Yeah, so allegedly not harmful to any living things outside the radius or even within whatever this harmless cloud was, but still quite suspicious. Nobody knows exactly where it came from.
Yeah, it's very suspicious.
So yeah, just things good all around right now.
Anyway, the world's over, so, you know.
Yes.
Just, you know, don't tackle your neighbors.
Another sign that the world's over, Las Vegas, their first driverless shuttle, like a little bus, was driving around the streets of Las Vegas.
Crashed.
And was promptly hit by a truck.
Of course.
Apparently, they're blaming it on the truck driver. He was backing up or whatever and bumped into this driverless shuttle.
Okay. But were there people on it?
Yes. Ugh. The real conclusion is that it was a driverless shuttle and we should not have driverless cars.
No.
Because stuff like that is going to happen.
There's no reason for driverless. Like, the way that science has progressed in this planet has been to fix problems.
To fix problems that no one has. Mysterious nuclear clouds.
No, but it's like here's a solution to a problem no one ever had. You know what?
Yes.
You know what's hard? Drive. Like, no, dude. You know what's hard is, like, we're going to run out of energy soon.
Yeah.
And everyone's going to starve, and then we're going to get killed by a super bacteria. Like, whether or not I can turn my lights on with my voice is not a problem I've ever thought I had.
It's like, oh, you can do more work on your commute. It's like, A, nobody wants to do more work.
Well, you do more work on your commute.
B, that's like what's killing everybody anyways, all the stress and being overworked.
Holy moly.
Okay. So that is, it's brutal that I got hit, but it's not brutal that it exists.
I don't want people to get hurt, but okay, so if the van was empty, except for its robot mind.
I don't think
anybody
was hurt.
Okay. No, but I want it to get like run over by a steamroller or something.
Yeah.
I don't want people to be inside, obviously. It's brutal.
Matt, would you sell off your house for video games?
Yeah.
Would you sell off your house in order to host a Super Smash Bros. Tournament? That's what happened.
No, Smash is for losers.
So one guy, we don't have time to go into too many details, but a guy who used to host an annual Smash Bros. Melee tournament decided to bring it back.
Yep.
But the costs were so high and the attendance was so low.
Oh, God.
Largely due to the competition of, like, these now, because esports is a thing.
Yeah,
it's harder and harder to do these kind of independent tournaments.
I'm joking when I said Smash for losers because I'm a person who does actually watch competitive video games on Twitch. I know you watch wrestling on Twitch. But the Smash Brothers is, like, very exciting and new and fun. And, yeah, it's a huge international community of people who play for, like, pride. I mean, there's money on the line, I guess, but it's more, like, fun. But yeah, I could see how that would happen.
So basically the decision was either cancel the tournament and eat whatever money had gone into it, or put it on and find a way to generate more money. So he's like, you know what? The show must go on. I'm moving into my grandmother's house.
Jesus.
And so we can fund this thing. And there you go.
Good Lord.
So real life grandma's boy.
That's brutal. That's brutal. That's gaming. That's brutal.
And finally, we're looping back to politics so we can play our next song.
The politics of tackling your neighbor.
In Virginia.
Ah, what a story.
Dana Kareem. Or Rome?
I think she said Ream.
Ream? Okay. She ran for Virginia House of Delegates against your boy Bob Marshall.
Yeah.
Who wrote
obviously
the,
my boy.
Who ran as Virginia's chief homophobe, I believe.
Yeah, we campaigned hard for him down there.
he wrote the bathroom bill.
Jesus.
In Virginia.
A dork.
Refused to refer to his opponent, Danica, as a female, use the proper pronouns.
Yep.
And, yeah, he got
Crushed?
Yes.
Crushed.
Steamrolled.
Like, not even close. Like, an incumbent Republican delegate in a gerrymandered state lost.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, she ran on, as we were discussing before...
Traffic congestion.
Practical problems that I want my stupid government to fix. Like, the road and, like, power and, like, how do we get electricity to things. Yeah, God bless her.
So she is the first...
Hilarious.
It's key to know she is the first openly transgendered representative in state legislature.
Yep.
Do you know the first overall... I don't know how to say that, but the first transgender representative in state legislature. No. Do you know what state that was in?
Wisconsin?
State of Massachusetts.
Okay, that makes sense.
Althea Garrison, from the early 90s. So there's interesting points about this. First of all, so she was elected... And it was one of those things where it was an open secret among Massachusetts politicians that she was transgender. African-American. Your boy, Howie Carr, and others at the Herald took it upon themselves to out her.
I can see that happening.
In the Boston Herald.
Sure.
And basically ended her political career because it was the early 90s.
90s? Okay. Yeah. Sure.
But it was also like some unfortunate circumstances where... So she was elected as a Republican and opposed gay marriage. Or opposed same-sex marriage.
Interesting.
So, like... what's her name? Caitlyn Jenner. Mm. How she like campaigned for Trump and all that weirdness.
True.
So anyway, just know that Althea Garrison was the first transgender representative. Danica Rehm is the first openly trans representative. Congratulated by Randy Blythe.
Does Althea Garrison rip? Does she rip?
She still runs though. She just ran for Boston City Council, I want to say, or Dorchester representative. This previous election got like 2 votes.
Does she shred?
She still, she does not shred. And we say that because Anna Karine is also the lead singer of the band Cab Ride Home.
Woo!
A band that sings about getting drunk a lot.
Dude. They're like a southern rock band. I mean, it's like southern metal.
Their Cab Ride Home, their tagline is slightly unsober since 2006. And we're going to play you a song by them right now. It's called Hawaiian Sucker Punch. Literally, you look up all their albums, it's just about basically drinking.
Yeah.
So again, the band is Cab Ride Home, Danica Rehm on lead vocals. And this song is Hawaiian Sucker Punch off their album Crash the Gate. It was actually previously recorded on You're All a Bunch of Drunks, I think. It was
hilarious. Whatever,
but re-released on Crash the Gate by Cab Ride Home. You're about to hear Hawaiian Sucker Punch on Proto Punch, WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM, streaming live on WMFO.org. And then we have our Hall of Fame inductee.
My God.
Enjoy.
Got it 1.5 WMFO.
Yes.
All men are created equal.
That was perfect.
But you look at me and you look at Samoa Joe and you know that is not true.
All albums are created equal except for this album that we're about to talk about. Yeah. Do you know what was released on June? Where were you on June 5th, 2003? I think Rev was floating in the ocean. Or was that the year before?
That's probably the year before.
That was the summer before.
Where was I? Probably cleaning my dad's yard. Well, going to work.
Your life changed forever. Because on that date.
I was watching MTV for the release of this video, actually. It's probably what I was actually doing.
The band Metallica released the greatest release in their catalog.
Yeah, probably. Sure.
Saint Anger.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right, folks.
Changed the world forever.
Folks, I gotta tell you, you're wrong. All the stuff from the 80s, okay. This, best album.
Cut off your hair.
Cut off your
get
hair.
Get a haircut.
Get a haircut.
Lose
get
your basis.
Try to get the guy from Primus, put him in the documentary, and be like, you're just too good.
So yes, to follow up from Edema's self-titled album, our second entry into the Brutal Brunch Hall of Fame is Saint Anger by Metallica.
Folks.
We told you this is gonna be the greatest Hall of Fame of all time.
It is.
And if you are angry or upset about this or think it's a bad album, we have a whole group of people that support us.
We have facts to back it up.
So this album was initially supposed to be start recording on April 23rd, 2001, but it was postponed indefinitely when rhythm guitarist and singer James Hetfield, by the way, my citation for all this information is Wikipedia, singer James Hetfield entered rehab for alcoholism and other addictions.
Mm-hmm.
Hetfield returned to the band in April of the next year, but was only allowed to work on the album from 12 to 4 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Due to his personal issues as well as Metallica's internal struggles, the band hired a personal enhancement coach, Phil Tal.
Fantastic.
To help
obviously
them.
All in this some kind of monster documentary.
Yes, because they wound up, all their crazy stuff that they went through, they wound up recording and released later. God,
the meetings, the boardroom where they're like, I just feel that I'm feeling, that what everyone's feeling. And
we're going to talk about it. Poor Kirk Hammett, just call him all of this.
Oh, I got to go to that Kirk Hammett exhibit at PBD Essex.
And so it was Jason Newsted, departed Metallica.
Yep.
And so Bob Rock, their producer, filled it. He plays bass on this album, not Rob Trujillo.
Nope.
And the album was also originally intended for release on June 10th, 2003, but it was released 5 days earlier due to concerns over unlicensed distribution through peer-to-peer file sharing networks. The fight was still going on. Lars
Man,
versus
never
everyone.
So in 2003, we're not even talking Kazaa anymore.
It was post-Napster. I think it was...
Post-LimeWire, even.
It would have been like Kazaa Lite, maybe.
Kazaa Lite. I don't know. I was whatever on MyTunes.
Yes, MyTunes. Freshman year, MyTunes.
Stealing everyone's music. That's how I found out about... not the Mars Volta, but the other one. the other band that he's in. Oh, no. Go ahead. Keep going.
Oh, One Arm Scissor, that band?
Yes.
But we gotta rip through this. So this album went double platinum. It has no solos and the best drums of all time.
It has the best drums of all time.
Lars achieved that by turning the snares off on a snare drum, which resulted in a drum tone with far more ring than is usual in rock and metal. We need Adam back from
it really sounds great
to explain that to us. Because
it sounds amazing. Yeah.
Here's our list of enemies. Although many reviews of Saint Anger were positive, see, it was critically acclaimed. People don't remember this.
Yeah.
Some reviewers had a strong distaste for the album. Brent DiCrescenzo, of course that would be your name if you write for Pitchfork.
Ugh.
He strongly disliked the album and criticized Ulrich and Hammett, saying that Ulrich was, quote, playing a drum set consisting of steel drums, aluminum toms, programmed double kicks, and a broken church bell.
Jeez.
The kit's high-end clamor ignored the basic principles of drumming, timekeeping, he added. Hetfield and Hammett's guitars underwent more processing than cat food. When they both speed strum through Saint Anger and most other movements,
it's a huge produced album.
They seem to overwhelm each other with different terrible noise.
Yeah.
Also, the duration of most songs made it boring to hear them.
Folks,
we don't so
Brian,
you want to dox someone? Brent DiCrescenzo, we're coming for you,
Brian.
Play Ladder reviewer. Play Ladder reviewer William Luff cited the album's 75-minute length and the sound, which was a monolithic slab of noise.
Long album.
As reasoning that Saint Anger was quote just too dense and daunting to be truly enjoyable.
Yeah, maybe.
FOH William Luff. And finally, Pop Matters reporter Michael Christopher said... Pop Matters.
Okay.
Saint Anger dispenses with a recent spate of radio-friendly pleasantries in favor of pedal-to-the-floor thrash, staggered and extended song structures, quick changes, and a muddled production that tries to harken back to the Kill 'Em All days. All attempts fail miserably.
Mm.
You fail miserably, Michael Christopher from Pop
Sir?
Matters. You are wrong. Pitchfork, going back to that review, gave it a 0.8 out of 10. 0.8 in an But that review is just your typical pretentious nonsense. We go to YouTube for the real reviews.
Give me the real reviews.
A guy whose name
Tell me what Goku69 has to say.
A guy whose name is written in Cyrillic says, effing love this song. Effing love this Anger album. Effing F you all.
Yeah, that was me.
Rohan G. Nair says, this song is awesome. This is in relation to Frantic, by the way. Alexander Dragovich says, okay, so take the ending riff, then put it after the second verse, add a solo, repeat verse end, and this song would have had more punch. Other than that, the message is effing amazing story of my old life. Die hard Metallica fan till the day I die.
Mm-hmm.
Mall Slasher says, I know this album gets a lot of hate.
This is all me. I'm the character Split from the movie Split, and I just post on YouTube with different usernames.
And I pity the ones that just despise it. Sure, it's not their best, but this album sounds amazing when cranked and you just lose yourself in the music.
Honestly, like compared to Death Magnetic or whatever that come out in the most recent album, like this like sounds like raw, like 1980s pop. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. compared to like how overly produced Death Magnetic was, that you had to get the Guitar Hero version or whatever it was to make it not sound like sound like that. Like this sounds amazing compared to that. I mean, like if you look at the track of Metallica from this album to today, like I think a lot of people should go back and like revisit this album.
Mm-hmm.
Brian.
Oh, so yeah. Brent. Continuing along with the YouTube reviews, Neil Phillips says, I've been a Metallica fan from the beginning, and I reckon that they have gotten better with age. Real fans of this band know what I'm on about. Frantic. Tick, 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 tock.
Yeah. Okay.
BBGBITW says, Frantic has some depth that matters, maybe too much for average people.
Maybe.
No name. 1 year ago, he edited this comment. I would love to know what the edit was, but he says, Hey, everybody, at 219, that guy is playing NES. Alcohol, bitches, and NES. Pure gold. And that's my life mantra, is what I would say. And Jimmicus Jolson, we'll let him have the final word.
These are our people.
This album's effing badass. Metal horns. If you disagree, please contact me so we can work out how to most conveniently disembowel you. So there you go. This album also, it was number one on the Billboard 200. Let's look at this chart position, by the way.
Hmm.
It was number one in Australia, Canada, Denmark.
What did the Asian countries think about
Germany,
this album?
Greek. It was number one on the Japanese albums.
Yeah, boom.
It was number one in Norway.
Yeah.
Polish albums. Portuguese albums.
Boom.
Swedish albums.
Boom. Singapore.
It was number two in Switzerland,
okay.
Spain, and Netherlands.
Fair.
And bad form, UK, and only came in number three.
They listened to, at that time, the UK was back and listened to rave music or something, like Fruity Loops or whatever the heck.
All right, so that is, so there you go. That's all the background you need for St. Anger, which is this week's entry into the Brutal Brunch Hall of Fame, and we are going to play, probably only have time now to play the first two tracks, the first two singles, which are amazing. Great. We're going to play Frantic and the title track, St. Anger. Congratulations, Metallica.
Congratulations, Metallica.
In the Brutal Hall of Fame.
Hey, really giving out awards to the real startup band, Metallica. You know, they've been scrapping their way along.
Local band.
Local band.
Let's go.
Oh, it's so good. God, you broke it.
I did break it. Let's stop.
I'm doing it.
Let's stop this over. Ready? And go.
Oh. Wait, I'll do the drums here.
Hold on. Breaking. Everything's breaking. We gotta start this over because you can't miss these drums. Gonna hold this in. Let's try this now.
I wish Lars would play a steel drum on this album. It would be giving more like groovy vibe. Oh yeah.
There you go.